We will pause, as is customary, for a few moments of silent prayer for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Now, Father, as we continue our advance, it is our prayer the Holy Spirit would instruct us as we provide the positive volition, that we might therefore grow in grace and become good followers of Christ by means of our association with truth. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. In closing the first session, we introduce some concluding principles involving our study of inspiration. There are five categories of transferring information, and that is through revelation, inspiration, illumination, interpretation, and animation. Animation is found in the Word of God. It is alive and powerful. It is a supernatural codex and available to anyone who has interest. Each of these deals with supernatural influence made available to the entire human race, but only enjoyed by the few who have believed in Christ. Salvation is a supernatural event in that it removes the problem of sin through simple belief in the person who removed it for us. There are supernatural things that go on constantly. We're not uniformitarians as a result. We believe in supernatural events that occur systematically, even in the church age. And that supernatural event would be your ability to understand the intricate thinking of the God of the universe simply by providing your free will. The Holy Spirit, therefore, continues to function in the field of inspiration, animation, and so on. If you believe that the Bible is a supernatural codex, that it was put together by the Holy Spirit over better than 1,000 years, and its accuracy is maintained at a better than 99% level, as compared to other ancient manuscripts, it far outshines as far as the number of extant copies, as well as its accuracy. Therefore, we have a supernatural codex available to us. Now, revelation is never to be confused with human reason. Brilliant minds pursue truth based on, first of all, empiricism, those that insist on laboratory experiments or mathematical formulas. We've gone through some of that, and this is a very accurate way of developing things that are true. There are certainly things that are discovered by man, and this is what we're supposed to do. We use our intellect to figure things out, and in doing so, we improve the status of everyone involved. The fact that we don't use little balls on a little bar in order to count anymore seems to be an advance. So there is something to be said about laboratory experiments, mathematical formulas, and empiricism. There's also rationalism, which is clarity based on human reasoning. There can be a rationalism that is involved in studying Scripture. This occurs when you put things together and you think through it logically and draw conclusions. That's building of wheel tracks as you inculcate divine information and then see how one concept leads to another and then another. That's developing wheel tracks, associations, and constellations within the neural pathways of the brain. This all constructed by the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, God's word in the man's soul, therefore, must be managed in its transfer by divine power. You can't just use rationalism to discuss things theological and therefore not attend to the importance of the Holy Spirit's guidance. This means confession alone to God alone and studying the Word of God. There has to be the direction of the Holy Spirit as you take information off the page and get it into your soul. And we've studied that enough for you to know the entire doctrine and everything associated with it, beginning with the concept of grace apparatus for perception. There are so many things involved in what we're studying in the doctrine of inspiration. There's a multiplicity of doctrines that are involved. Constellations are involved here, and we've only touched on a few. By the way, when it comes to canonicity, I spoke with someone at halftime that said that this was over their head, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with something being over your head. That should be a challenge. But if you want to get down to it, just go into the other room over there and get the book Canonicity, and you'll get far more details than I was willing to allot to the study today. This really skims the surface, but my purpose in doing this is to amplify our study of inspiration by demonstrating to you that the biblical codex we have has been vetted over a 1,000-year period and has been proved almost perfect in its transfer from one document to the next. We did do some work in the past, if you may recall, that the errors, those 138 words, have to do with misspellings. Sometimes it has to do with numbers, nothing that affects in any substantial way any of the doctrines. So you're dealing with men, but these men have maintained the integrity of content by better than a 99% rate. So this in itself seems to me to classify itself as something supernatural, directed by the Holy Spirit, maintained over the course of a millennium. And it outdoes anything as far as number of copies that remain in existence, as well as the accuracy of transfer. So God's word in a man's soul must be managed, and therefore the transfer of divine power is involved. The Holy Spirit directed the human writers in such a way that they understood what he revealed. The human writers sometimes did not understand in the sense that what they're writing they understood as it was revealed by the Holy Spirit, but the whys and wherefores they had no way of knowing. This has to do maybe with prophecy. You can be told that something is going to happen in the future, and you don't understand quite how that could take place, but nevertheless you understood it academically and you wrote it down. This is under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There are many things that occur in the future that have been prophesied that are supernatural. And so you have to buy into supernaturalism in order to make sense out of the Word of God. Yet the Lord said, if you will allow yourself to accept the supernatural, then you will understand the truth, and it is the truth that will make you free. What kind of freedom he means is going to be the major subject of our next portion of the study. What is this freedom? I'll have you know this before we get there, that you're never free. You're always under the authority of something or somebody. And those who talk of freedom today do not want any constraints whatsoever. Their freedom is, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, without anybody saying anything about it and being intolerant. Woe to the person who's intolerant. Rob banks, rape children, pull for the Cubs, any number of things just want to be accepted without question. God reveals himself to man in many ways which can lead an unbeliever to salvation or validate the faith of the believer. He reveals himself to man in many ways. And we've been through, for example, the cosmos, how that reveals. For example, the study of the heavenly carousel. We did that about a year or so ago. We can note briefly Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. Well, he invented all of that in a microsecond. I am happy with our study of the creation. I don't know about you, but it's a supernatural thing, so you have to fight that out among yourselves. I am convinced that what science thinks they've discovered through mathematical formulas doesn't bear up when compared to the Word of God. They're into guesswork now with their superstring theory and even the idea that the universe was created out of nothing, which we agree with, by the way, but not in the same way that they insist. It just happened. You see, when there's nothing, here's the theory, when there's nothing, then there's a possibility of something. You write that down. You don't forget that one. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. When there was no electricity, and when the night came, the only light was in the heavens, people could see unrestricted. In fact, they could see better than we can see now, although we have all of these satellites that get out of the Earth's atmosphere and get rid of the haze, and we get to see planets and habitable zones. But see, that is a vain search for something that is going to corroborate the idea of the mediocrity principle. These people are so driven by their rejection of the Word of God and what it says that they are hell-bent and they are determined to disprove it by insisting to us that there are habitable planets elsewhere, and as a result of that, if there's water, there always has to be water, that means the evolutionary process can begin there as it has here. And in fact, some may have been way ahead of us, and they're a lot smarter than we are, so there, where's your exceptionalism, buddy? If you have this telescope that can look way out into the universe, you can find what is called a star. And I'm going to blow this up for you. I'm magnifying this based on the pictures that I've seen. And if there is a planet that orbits around that sun, which they can see, then they can see every now and then this little dot right there, and it transverses across the face of this star. And they can measure the magnitude of the star and how it diminishes somewhat when this little dot goes by. And by that, they calculate the size. And then after they've calculated the size of the star and the little dot, then they calculate the orbit, and then they calculate whether it's in the habitable zone or not. Now, have you got that? That's blown up. Big. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. While they're looking out way beyond, they should be looking at the carousel, which describes for the person who doesn't have a canon of Scripture, as no one did in the very beginning. But they can see in the carousel the entire display of the life of Christ. The failure of man to respond to the creation's testimony is addressed by Paul in Romans 1, verses 20 through 23. He writes, "Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse." Who are the they? The they are those who have rejected Christ. "For even though they knew God," that's God consciousness, "they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." That's negative volition, God consciousness. "Professing to be wise, they became fools." What do a fool do? That's foolish. Now, it's okay, and we spent a lot of money on the Kepler telescope, so we do need to use it. And it is fascinating what God has created. These things are beautiful. It's the kind of thing that these artists, these I don't know what you call these hippies is what I used to call them. But these artists that do a painting of nothing, a lot of colors and squiggly lines and so on. And you think, what is that? And, you know, they'll give it some name like perspective. And you look at that and you think, I get no perspective here. But it's in the museums. And we say, this is great. This is avant-garde. Fine. When you look out through Kepler and you see all of these things that are exploding out there, providing the radiation we need so that the whole carbon deal can continue, that's pretty. And it's even in 3D. So when we do look out into the heavens, we should see the Creator, not the creation. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man or of birds, of four-footed animals and reptiles. When the souls of men turn away from God, a vacuum occurs and into which is drawn substitutes. And people draw in substitutes today. Don't you think it's amazing that a person with phenomenal talent and ability that's off the charts could not be happy about that? Could not be grateful for it? For all of the fame, all of the material blessings that came along with it, and then dope yourself to death? It was that lady that died yesterday. Forget her name. Houston or something. Whitney Houston. Oh, you know her. Well, I don't. But she did a heck of a job on the national anthem. That is the best job of the national anthem that's been sung at a sporting event, which I assume it was a sporting event. We only sing it at sporting events now. But it was phenomenal. She has some pipes on her. 48 years old. Why do you need drugs? If you can sing like that, why do you need drugs? That's what I would do. I would go everywhere I went, I'd sing anything I said. Wouldn't you? If you could sing like that, would not you just sing all the time? How are you? Fine, thank you. But not her. You know, she offed herself at 48. I talked to a man a while ago who was 49 years old. 49. What do you think of that, John? Can you remember back that far? There's somebody here that's 49? Kaylee, are you 49? You've held up well for your age. Yeah. Well, you must, yeah. When the souls of men turn away from God, a vacuum occurs into which are drawn substitutes. Darwinian claims that all living creatures evolved from original one-celled amoeba puts all living creatures in the same category. And people buy this. You know, I talk supernatural stuff. I've given you all this supernatural. And then they tell this. And you say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's exactly the way it happened. Believing themselves wise, they became fools. This leads to the worship of self, nature, the environment, and finally the earth, all of which are the result of a half century of intensive indoctrination in progressive ideology. Now, I know that progressivism has been along better than a century, but it shifted into high gear in the 1960s. I was there. I saw it. These things are simply a part of the long march against the institutions and the advantages its proponents have acquired have placed our nation perilously close to critical point. We are in trouble, and I am happy to see you here today because you're the true patriots that are going to deliver this nation if it is to be delivered. It's you that will take the baton and move it forward if it is to be moved. We're in desperate trouble as a people. And I want you to know that. Christianity must be the foundational bedrock of a client nation. Not just any nation, a client nation. I do not mean by this that we are a Christian nation. Pieces of real estate do not believe in Christ. I do mean that its culture was founded on Christian doctrines and beliefs and worldview. Do your research. We've done it here over the years. Our founders used biblical concepts in the foundational documents of this nation, establishment principles, and opened up the free exercise concept in the First Amendment that we enjoy here today. Freedom of speech, that's what I'm up to right now. Freedom of the press, for those of you who hold Bibles. Freedom of movement, for those of you who rode here this morning. and free exercise of religion once here. It is under assault. We have people in government today that find the Constitution to be an impediment to their philosophies and ideologies. It must be moved out of the way. And they peck away at those things that are in the way. The pecking away process deludes people and causes people not to see the gradual Fabian loss of freedom. We're like the frog in the boiler, set on simmer. To bring a client nation to the point that it no longer has historical impact, the dark side must utilize whatever worldview is acceptable in any period of history to divert the population away from truth over to the lie. Almost everything that comes out of government today is based on a lie that's wrapped in enough truth for people to buy into it. And they play on emotions and guilt in order to sell their propaganda. You hate poor people because you have something. Well, that's called capitalism. I once was poor. What's poor? Having nothing. Nothing. All credit gone. All money gone. Wife and children still there. Mama stayed. The children didn't have enough sense to leave. Did we miss a meal? No. Did we ever get rained on? No. Did we ever go out of the house naked? No. Food, clothing, shelter. Even had cars to a degree. I'll never forget when I took that 78 Chevrolet for our 20th anniversary in Houston. And you have these entry ramps down there where you have a side road that you get on, and then you get an entry ramp to get up on 610. And this curb comes to a point here. And there were no lights, and I didn't see it, so I rolled both right tires over that point and blew both. So you got one spare. Why stop? Just keep going. And so by the time I got to the house, I was on the rims. You can hear us coming for blocks. And I'm not making this up. Sparks were visible even inside the car. That's what I was driving then. But we got home on the rims, but we got there. What's my point? Just because you are what you consider to be poor now doesn't mean that you don't have the intelligence, the wherewithal, the ability, and the grace of God to move forward in your life. He will keep you alive. As sorry as you are, He will keep you alive. He will give you your necessities. He will take you to the next level. And in the process, He will show you undisputably that the grace of God is more powerful than any circumstance you face. And if until you've been there and been back to the wall where nothing is available to you but the grace of God, you don't get that. So it's good to be poor. Learn from it. Pick yourself up. Say, I can do this with the grace of God. I will move on. I will use my talents and abilities, and I will take the power of the Word of God, and I will use those principles to explore the future. And He will lead the way. Believe it, because it's supernatural. Nobody can do this unless some supernatural gets involved. And the supernatural system of economics is capitalism. Nobody can prosper under socialism. Everybody's poor. Everybody's in slavery. Everybody's mad with each other. And therefore you have a critical point. There's blood in the streets. To bring a client nation to the point that it no longer has historical impact, the dark side must utilize whatever worldview it's acceptable at any point in history to divert the population away from truth over to the lie. The eyes of our nation have turned away from its culture and have opted to be blinded by several high-sounding ideas that at their core conceal while they advance evil intentions. here is the big elephant in the room. Universal health care, to be universal, must cover all conceivable health issues. If pregnancy is a health issue, then it must be covered. If a woman's right to cancel a pregnancy is a health issue, then it must be covered. The Catholic Church's ownership of hospitals puts them in the health care business and makes it vulnerable to government mandates. There's a great place for charity in any society. The Jews had a tertiary tithe. Tithe means tax, by the way. And they paid 20% every year of whatever they had. Now, that would be a fair income tax in this country. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says it is. Everybody pays 20%. Everybody. There was nobody left out in Israel. You ended up 20, buddy. Then every third year, there was another 10% tax. What was it for? It was for those who were legitimately destitute. Maybe they were injured. Maybe they had illnesses. Maybe they couldn't do the things that a person normally would do to sustain him or his family. There was this tertiary tax every third year. Therefore, there's a place for charity. And the charity should go to those who are in need. Not for those who are in some political subdivision that has won the interest of those who pass laws. By entering into the public arena, the Catholic Church has become susceptible to the intrusion of government control. We see that in our news today. But the recent 9-0 Supreme Court decision in Hosanna Tabor Evangelical Lutheran Church versus the EEOC indicates the judge's respect for the free exercise clause of the First Amendment for the moment. But 9-0 is very impressive. Yet the Catholic hospital situation begs this question. Will the churches themselves, not the hospitals, the appendages, but the churches, Catholic and Protestant, Jewish synagogues, Islamic mosques, Mormon temples, will the churches be required to comply with certain requirements of the proposed health care laws if they violate their belief system? See, it's the pecking away process that we see in evidence here. For you see, the universal health care concept is not about health care. If you think it's about your health, you're out of your mind. Your health is going down the tubes if this thing becomes a reality. It's all about the long march through the institutions, one of which is religion, with quotes around it, really. Christianity, in particular. Once the government is able to insert one of its tentacles into the church, then others are soon to follow. That's the mission, that's the goal, that's the objective, and they want to poke a tentacle in. They found the Catholic Church vulnerable. We open up a hospital, we're vulnerable. So get out of the hospital business. Find out who needs help as we do here, and then help that person as they need it. But don't open a hospital. Let the world do that. If the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is not rescinded by the next Congress, then the many freedoms we enjoy in this country will be systematically diminished, while the client nation itself will sludge through the 5 cycles of discipline toward national suicide. I get from Heritage Foundation a little thing where I'm to check off what I think about certain subjects, certain issues. And I never answer any of them. I take a felt-tip pen, and across the surface of the entire chart, I write, if health care isn't rescinded, then none of these other issues matters. We're done. We are done if that thing is not chopped down to its root. So this is not prophecy, it's reading historical trends. The assault on the institutions has been in high gear for 50 years, 60 actually. And we see it in our studies. We see it in scripture that have been used to identify the problem and to amplify their current impact. The Bible speaks of these things. We've seen the examples from scripture and the ramifications thereof. We will know whether or not our nation will survive as we know it by this time next year. That's why I'm harping on you people getting your spotted bottoms to Bible class. You remain as the only solution. There are no human solutions left. And I'll show you a figure here. Let me show you a figure. I don't know if this thing's big enough. I don't even know if it can even do this. That's what you owe. And this is a T here. And they're not blushing over this. That can't be done. Can't do this. They have to devalue the currency. We're going to become Zimbabwe. How soon, I don't know. But health care will do it. This number here is minor compared to what will occur if health care is passed and goes to its obvious conclusion. Maybe 40 would be a good number to start with. We're done, guys, and you need to get yourself serious about the Word of God if He is going to preserve this nation in any form of livability. And we've got Scripture to show us, and I've shown it to you. Yet I show up here on weeknights, and there are 12 people here. You say, oh, I'm a Dorito. Well, you know what you can do with your Doritos. If this nation dies, the reason will be because the majority of its people rejected truth. They will not only have bought the lie, they will have loved the lie. I love it, I love it, I love it. Give me some more lie. I can sing like a bird, but I need some dope to make me feel happy. I wonder what she was in the bathroom. Taking a shower. I'm a bath. I understand she was in the tub. Who does that anymore? A show of hands. Who actually gets in a tub of water now? Does anybody do this? You do. Okay, fine. It's America. But she's lying in a tub. Now, here's what I'd be doing if I was Maureen Whitney. I would be singing in there, because in the shower, everybody's good. So I don't understand how somebody with that kind of talent and ability could just not enjoy that. God has provided through revelation and inspiration the truth that could set them all free of tyranny and the slavery it imposes. Now, this sad circumstance brings us back to the passage that took us on our journey to illustrate the difference between what is truth, what is true, and what is the lie. Our next segment is the Lord's Emancipation Proclamation. He said to the believers at the temple in John chapter 8, I'll read it to you. Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed in Him, if, third class condition, maybe you will, maybe you won't, if you continue in My word, then, see there you have a prophecy followed by an apophthegm. First of all, you have a condition. What kind of condition is it? Third class. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But if you continue in My word, then that opens up the apodosis. You are truly disciples of Mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's the Lord's Emancipation Proclamation that we will study exegetically beginning next Sunday. And before we do, we're going to take up the subject of Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. I always enjoy a little time spent with old Abe. And I will show you that he emancipated nobody. And he emancipated nobody on purpose. But the Lord emancipated everybody. And we'll see both beginning next Sunday morning. Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of studying these things. It is our prayer that we would be motivated by the power of the supernatural appearance on this earth of your immutable and living word. It is alive and powerful, and in our souls it has power. Power to enable us to think clearly while being bombarded by hostile influences. Therefore, we have problem-solving devices to rebuke all of these things and to keep our eyes focused on the objective, which is to learn how to use truth to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Motivate us toward these objectives as we lift our prayer in the name of Christ our Savior. Kares human kai rene, plethun thai e en epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.